Looking good, looking good. Like you know we should. Looking good today.
You're listening to the Iron Mike Keenan Podcast.
We're the bomb going strong. We can do no wrong. We're looking good today.
Welcome to the Iron Mike Keenan Podcast, episode number 3. Scott Morrison alongside the coach, Iron Mike Keenan, and we have a very special guest to introduce today.
Well, we really do, and Michelle, I consider her to be a great friend, Hall of Fame player, added a lot to our Blackhawks team, certainly a lot to our Canada Cup 87 team, and he has a bone to pick with me about 91, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but great to have Michelle join
Goulet.
Us, and
hey, how much time do we have, guys?
We got a few minutes. How much time do you have?
Well, it's awesome. You know, thank you to having me on, obviously.
So it was Mike who brought you to Chicago. What was your reaction when you found out that you were going, A, to Chicago, and B, to play for Iron Mike?
Well, I was, I knew they were following me for a while in the team at the time. As we all know, the Nordiques were going the other way and trying to get some good players. And at the end, you know, I was around 30 years old and I was really ready to move on. And obviously it's kind of fun to, you know, to see maybe have a chance to go with a good team. And the only, trouble I had, I keep seeing those guys on top there, and you know, it took them like 4 or 5 weeks to decide. But finally that was happened, and I was so excited just to, you know, to go to a team where I have a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
Because you had some really good years with those Nordiques playing with the Stasnys.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. We had a great team, really. You know, offensively we were really good, and you know, obviously on the defensive side, we struggled a little bit, but we had, I'd say, other 10 years I was there, 8 of them was excellent. You know, it was so much fun, and playing in Quebec City, there was, you know, the fans were so great, and it was just a fun time to play. And but mainly, I played with the Stastny on the power play. I was more with Dale Hunter and Buddy Gucci and Louis Slager. We haven't done that one yet, but the Stasnys and the power play were, you know, we had a tremendous power play there for years.
They also had to, at one year, play against this really young team from Philadelphia in
Yes. I mean, the Flyers were good. The Flyers, I mean, obviously, Mike, did you end up in the final on your first year?
We did.
It was the 85 playoffs.
Yeah.
Wow, that was an amazing run. Is it the That was Ron Extall that winning the MVP, was it?
That particular year, it was...
No, it's 87 was Extall.
Extall, that was Pelle Lindbergh. So,
okay. Oh, yeah. I got the two mixed up. Yeah, yeah. Wow.
I remember.
That was an amazing... Yeah. That was an amazing time. And obviously, you know, after you won the championship in the EHL, that's kind of nice that you can win the Stanley Cup right the next year. But you had a really good team over there, and young and physical and demanding, and you know, you need to be ready, that's for sure.
I want to ask you, just before we get into the Chicago years, you were one of the baby bulls back with the Birmingham. What was that experience like?
That was awesome. You know, Rob Ramage, Craig Arsberg, Pat Riggins, Ricky Vive, and you know, all those people. That was like Craig Arsberg. And on top of that, we have John Brophy as a coach. So no better coach to learn from. And obviously, I was the youngest of all. You know, they were all 19 years old. I was 18. And that was a tremendous experience. It was like the first couple months were kind of challenging for me. The snap of the year was awesome. We had such a great group of young guys. And it was like such a nice, you know, to start a pro career, obviously. So that was an excellent time and so much fun over there.
So John Brophy and Iron Mike Keenan, any similarities?
Well, he had the Petit Tiger, too.
Oh, yes.
Don't forget Michelle.
Oh, the Petit Tiger for a long time. I had the Tiger for 7 years in Quebec City.
Bergeron.
And I had, you know, Brophy first and Tiger and Jacques Demers to start my first rookie year in Quebec City. And after that, Bergeron for 7 years, and after that I had a few different kind of coaches, but The challenging one was like Mike Keenan and Daryl Sutter back to back. That's not too bad. Hey, you learn a lot from the one, because the next one is pretty similar.
Yeah, Daryl was my assistant coach at the time, and then became the head coach. But talk about coaching, and I can tell the fans out there that Michel Goulet and Steve Larmer had a big influence on a young fellow named Jeremy Roenick. And I can recall many times on the bench, Michel teaching him and talking to him while he was in between shifts.
Yeah, it was, obviously, probably one of your best moves ever to put all of us together. Well, that was amazing. The season we had, the three of us were awesome. And you could see the JR, how much potential he had. And me and Larmer, the two old guys, we just, tried to carry, tried to keep up with him. He was so fast. But that was so much fun just to see a young guy like JR, trying to becoming like one of the best in the NHL. And it was kind of nice to see Steve and, to me, one of the best two-way player ever played in the NHL. And nobody really paid much attention, but Steve Larmer is a tremendous hockey player and in all three zones and just an amazing guy on top of that. And there's no question that, Mike, when you put all of the three of us together, we really gel and really play well, Maybe Mike, your best one was maybe Gretzky and Lemieux in '87 together.
That was a pretty good combination as well. Yes,
hard to mess that one up.
Yeah,
I asked Mike the question off air, Michel, and you're a Hall of Famer. Should Steve Larmer be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I bring his name many times. Just like he was such a quiet guy that, play well and do everything so well without any more noise. But it's there's no question to me he's a guy that we need to pay a little bit more attention going forward. He's a tremendous player and, he's a few guys. It's hard to make the cut, but, you have the, Pierre Turgeon, you have the Dale Hunter, over 1,000 points. And you have a different area that's kind of hard to imagine. Just because I play with Steve and Dale Hunter, to me, it's kind of easy to talk about those players because they were so good at what they were doing, So it's just, it's so hard to make it. There's no question, but, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, a guy like Steve Larmer should be considered, sooner or later,
Yeah, well, hopefully one of these days he makes it because I think he should be there as
well. Well, he was a tremendous, I don't know if to tell.
And you brought him to New York, too.
But yeah, we brought him to New York, and when he arrived, the players didn't realize how good he was. And certainly Steve had a big impact in the Chicago franchise, playing with, Dennis Savard and also Jeremy Roenick and Michel and Secord he was a top player who, as Michel described, he could play in any situation. He and Dirk Graeme were excellent number one penalty killers in the league at one time, too. So he could do it all, power play, penalty killing, special teams, regular, play against the best players, be a checker, didn't matter what his assignment was, he would get the job done.
So it was early in the 1990 season, the Hawks trade Everett Sanipas, Daniel Vincelette, and Mario Doyon to the Nordiques for Michel Goulet and goaltender Greg Millen and a sixth-round pick.
Yep.
Tell us about what happened first when that trade happened, Mike.
Well, Michel wouldn't even know this story, I don't think, but I was in 1979 trying out for Team Canada for the Olympic team as a player, and my roommate was Craig Millen. He was just coming out of Peterborough. I was playing defense with Tom Laidlaw, so they put me in charge of this young player thinking I'm going to be disciplined and look after this guy that was a little bit rambunctious off the ice. So Millensy comes in one night and throws a bucket of ice water on me after he had a couple of pops. And I said, you shouldn't be doing that, waking somebody up in the middle of the night. And I jumped up out of bed and said, you better get running because if I get a hold of you, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. So the next event was he dressed a statue outside of the hotel with my clothes. So eventually what comes around goes around, or goes around comes around, depends on what side of the story you're on. So, Michelle, when Milnsy comes to you, I call him in the office and says, now payback is going to be real miserable for you, Milnsy. I've got you now. So I don't know if you remember, but he was a little bit overweight. I made him ride the bike and lift weights and everything else. So anyway, that was a little bit of a side story about the trade.
For some reason, Mike, you looked like everybody was overweight when you walked in the dressing room in Chicago. For some reason. Well, I don't know why.
When I got there, Michelle, there was no fitness equipment whatsoever. So everybody did have a couple of extra pounds on them. So we trimmed that off pretty well. And I think that we took advantage of it. I mean, Chelios was a fitness nut. And when he arrived and a few other guys picked up on it, and the team was was well-conditioned and fit, and that's, you know, we had a great run in the playoffs. I think how many games did we go without suffering a loss? 12 games in a row or something like that?
12 games in a row before we lost in the finals or the first game.
There's no question, Mike,
that, you know, all year, that year, what a great, I mean, we can talk about any players that we had back then, but we were the hardest working team, you know. We never stopped. It's just like, well, it's just a machine. Every game, you knew exactly how the Chicago Blackhawks will play, and that was so refreshing and so good to, you know, for me, that was an amazing season just to be part of that group. And, you know, how conditioned we were and how relentless we were, and it didn't matter who we played in the playoff there, we just beat everybody. And it was like, obviously we end up in the final, but you know, came up short, but there's no question that was really a refreshing and an amazing season personally and as a team, you know.
Yeah, we had a great group of guys that were really committed to working together. They got along really well. So to help that process, I would take them on little respites or little recreational events. And one time I took them to Banff, and I love rock and roll music, and so did the team. And we had the team at this little bar in Banff, and as I was leaving, I handed my credit card to Michelle and said, look after the guys. I know it's time for the coach to go. So Michelle certainly looked after the guys. I don't know if you recall that story, Michelle, or not. So
the only thing I remember is the next morning at the practice, he said, where's that Goulet? I want to see him now.
Yeah.
We had such a great time. That was such a fun 3 days, you know, just to be away from the league, be away from everything, and just like relaxing a little bit. That was such a great event and just so much fun. And there's no question, Mike, you had that thing right when you have a little break like that. Now today is different because they have their all their breaks, but back then it was such a great time for the guys. And you know, you just enjoy each other and having a fun couple of days in Banff. That was awesome.
So how bad was the credit card bill?
Well, it wasn't that bad, but I can recall also coming back, and Michelle, I don't know if you remember or if you were with us at the time, but we were in La Quinta, and we were going to take them to a spa and a golf course. And I said, guys, the golfing's on me. So I stood up in the front of the bus, and I go to check out of my room after 3 or 4 days, like Michelle said, the guys had a good time. And I looked at the bill, it was $10,000. Not only did they play golf, they were buying golf clubs and golf balls and golf shoes. And so,
hey, I didn't have any clubs. I didn't have anything.
So I took the bill to Bill Wirtz, and he looked at me and he said, what's this for? I said, I told him, you know, team bonding and so on. He said, he was really upset with me. I said, I'll make a deal with you. I said, Mr. Wirtz, if we go to the Stanley Cup Finals, you pay the bill. And if we don't, I will pay the bill. He said, that's fair enough. So, of course, we go to the Stanley Cup Finals, but I ran down the dressing room and says, guys, we're going to the finals. I can't afford the $10,000.
Hey, that's why you were so happy when we won the third round, huh?
Exactly. You said, we're going to the finals. I didn't have to pay the golf bill.
Different kind of
that's
motivation.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Talk about the 87 Canada Cup, arguably the greatest series, the final at least, in hockey history.
No question. You know, to me, in my career, the two Canada Cups are, you know, pretty much the highlights of my career. Obviously, it was amazing in 84 having a chance to play with Wayne and Rick Middleton as a line. in 87, you know, with Mario and Wayne and those guys, Doug Gilmore and Dale Awerchuk. It was such an amazing team. And there was so much pressure and fun at the same time on my end, you know, playing in the small, you know, playing in Quebec City. We all know, all the Canadians, how hard it is, you know, and you need to win and the pressure that you have. But it was an amazing time. And I think Mike really turned things around a little bit, because our training camp was not the best. But when this, you know, when the tournament start, you know, we really start gel. And there's no question the final was the amazing games. Never. I mean, you look at the first line, you look at the fourth line, and you're like, okay, you need to be there and be ready, because they're coming. They're so good, and they're, you know, they handled the puck so well, and they were so fast. So that was such an amazing tournament, and obviously very proud to be on top. And there's no question that Mike and the coaching staff did a lot of things. And there's no, you know, when you look at it, just the fact that he played Mario and Wayne together really changed the dynamic of our team at the time.
It was an incredible series, as Michelle said. It was the last time that Canada or anyone played internationally, that particularly Canada played against the Soviet Union with Tikhonov as the coach. And there, as Michelle mentioned, the depth of their team and the rotation and what we were up against and the pressure that we all had to deal with because of the expectations that Canada would, it became even greater than hockey. It became somewhat of a political statement about communism and capitalism, and we all felt that. But the guys really responded, obviously great players in their prime. And I think that Michelle probably would agree with Wayne Gretzky. He said that was the best three hockey games that he has ever played in.
Three 6-5 hockey game is pretty hard to beat when you think about it. But it's you know, the thing is, people don't realize, you know, you take 20, 23 guys, and you know, you practice, you know, you try to get gel for 3 weeks, and you play against a team that probably been together forever, and they know exactly what they're gonna do. And us, we try to figure things out. We try to figure who's gonna play with who, and you know, staff and as a team, you need to learn quick. Otherwise, you know, you're out of there, you're out of the tournament pretty quickly. And we know we have a lot of talent, but at the end, you know, we're not really used to play all together. And you know, when you look what Mike and, you know, the coaching staff did, and make sure we have the right people playing with the right lines, as the right partner as a defenseman, and the which goalie you play, and you know, when you look, it's so much pressure. So that was an amazing time, really. And you know, and we feel it, you know, at the time that Canada was all behind us, you know. And it was such an amazing, tremendous final.
Well, I remember writing a story that team took a while to come together and play at the level, Mike, that you wanted it to, and you pushed a lot of buttons and ticked off a lot of players.
Well, I can remember having a meeting with Wayne, Mark, and Raymond, the three of them, and they were a little bit upset, maybe a lot upset with me, about how I was pushing them hard in practice. But we'd only practiced, as Michelle learned later, playing for me in Chicago, the practice were short and crisp, but high tempo, a lot of demands physically and movement. And then when they came and I explained that to them, and I didn't ask them for anything else but that 1 hour, and that Canada expected us to win, Wayne stood up and said, I'm sorry we're here. Of course, that's the right thing to do, so let's continue to improve, which we did. But it was, as Michelle said at the beginning, it was a little bit more difficult to bring the group together. And Michelle, I don't know if you remember the first meeting we had when I delegated the ice time to everyone, and I said, how many minutes are there in a hockey? And Larry Murphy, hockey game, Murphy's at the back, and he says 60 minutes. I said, well, actually there's 720. It's the distribution of 60 minutes with six players, mm-hmm. and three, you know, 360 on each team. And I said, you mind if Wayne plays 25 and so on? So I go through every player, and there's 5 minutes left, and Rick Tocchet says, I'm the only guy that doesn't have any ice time. I'm going to have the 5 minutes. I said, only if we're penalty free. So So that was way one way of galvanizing the group and bring them to get them to understand. Like, here's Michelle, 50 goal scorer, and you got other players like Howardchuk, who's got 100 and some odd points in Winnipeg. And now you have to play a different role and understand that and be a part of that and be educated. As Michelle, in a very short period of time, was a real interesting process for the players and for all of us.
Well, there was, like you say, Mike, it was everybody was playing like over 20 minutes on each team, and you go to a place where you might have 11, 12, or 13. So it's a different feel. But I always thought the player, if I don't play well that day, I need to do something else to be better, you know, but defensively or trying to be, you know, at least you're not a guy that's going to cost the team to lose. So you're trying to adjust. And I think, you know, when you look at it, everybody on our team back then understand what you were trying to do and, you know, tried their best. And that was amazing. When you look at, you know, the Dale Awachuk, the, you know, Brent Sutter or the Mark or, you know, Doug, you know, what it doesn't matter who you talk to. It was an amazing feeling just to be part of that group. And you just, that was no big egos. You just want to win. And those three games show a lot of character on our part. And that was just an amazing time for hockey.
So you're there for 84, 87. What happened in 91?
Oh, my Lord. I was a big fan of Mike before, but after that meeting, I'm like, wow. That was like 3 weeks of training camp. I was the last guy cut. I'm like, oh, seriously? But again, I think, you know, you go there with an open mind, you work hard, and you try to understand, you know, why the reason or why, you know. But the thing is, I'm a guy that, you know, you got to get up the next day, good or bad. You have a hat trick or you're minus three, you need to get up the next day and be the best you can be. And that's what I tried to do. You know, I just, you know, that was a hard time for me. But, you know, at the end of the day, Mike made the decision and with his assistant coaches. And I feel it was okay. You know, that's life, you know. You grow up and you mature more and you move on. And there's no question that was not the best day of my life, though.
I'm sure. And you know, that's conversely, it's very, very, very difficult to have to tell somebody like Michelle, who had added so much to our team in 87. And then now, you know, I'm looking at him as a player and I feel for him. That was a 5-hour discussion with the coaches. And the five coaches sat around for 5 hours and debated and questioned ourselves. And in the end, we kept a Robitaille.
Luke was a lucky guy.
Yeah, he was lucky because we could, quite frankly, and you know, Pat Burns is deceased, God bless his soul, he really was pushing for Robitaille for Luke. And, you know, there was Tommy Webster, Brian Sutter, Tom Watt, Pat Burns, and myself, and I was pushing for Michelle. I had the ultimate decision making, but because he had contributed so much, and I tried to point that out. But in the end, we did it as a committee, and I had to be the bearer of bad news. But either way, Michelle could have played for that team as well. There's no question about it.
But the thing is, when you look at it, you guys make the right decision. You end up winning. So, you know, it's the way it is. You have to look at the result. You know, it's just, I know it's sometimes, you know, as a coach, Mike, you're going to make decision. You won't be too popular, that's for sure. But that's the way it is.
Yeah.
You make decision and you move on, you know.
Well, so. You took it very maturely, and I appreciate that. But there are days where those decisions are really tough with your own team. But this is a superstar team. And that becomes even more difficult.
Guys who don't get cut.
The guys have never gotten cut.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, some guys have never been cut. You know, I'll just talk about that for a second. In the first Canada Cup, I think I cut 10 guys that ended up in the Hall of Fame. Neely, Sakic, Iserman. Yep. I mean, it goes on and on. I think there was 10 guys I cut. Scott Stevens.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't name them all right now, but there was plentiful number of them.
Well, it just tells you how many good players there are.
There were great players, but they were just a little bit too young for what, and, you know, they were just young guys, really young guys. But yeah, there was so much competition that, you know, you had
but, to. You know, Mike, when you look at it, Mike, you know, you did the right thing. Again, you look at the result. That's what you got to look at it, you know. It's when you have a bunch of good players, it's not that easy, as you know. When you're coaching a team of superstars, you know, you have a big ego sometimes you have to handle, and you know, it's part of the job. And you know, at the end, when you look, you end up winning. So you make the right decision. That's awesome.
Yeah. You better win.
You better win for sure, though.
So, Michelle, you're pro scouting now. How do you feel about the game and how it's changed over the years?
Personally, I'm a big hockey fan. You know, I enjoy what I do, and I enjoy sports, and I enjoy hockey. And when you look at it, you know, the sports today, just with all the rule change and everything else, you know, with the concussions and all the injuries and stuff. So I think the players today are better prepared, but safe. They're, you know, they play in a safer game, I say. But I really like the way the NHL is going. It's really demanding. It's really fast. It's really moving. It's I think we can criticize a lot of people, but at the end of the day, I think the league and the NHL are in a better place, and I really like what I see with all those young guys coming up, and they're superstars, those franchise players, and you know, it's just an amazing time to be an NHL player and a fan at the same time. You know, I really enjoyed the game today.
Is there anything you would tweak?
I think personally, I will let the goalie still play the puck. that's one of the rules. The other thing, personally, I would love to bring the red line back. You know, just have a thing together. But it's just me seeing. You know, as a forward, I think we have to rush back to help your defenseman as a breakout when you break out of your zone. And now guys, you just go to the far blue line and relax a little bit. But the thing is, the rules are the rules, and I think the player adjusts and coaches adjust, and that's the only two little things that I would do. But besides that, I think when you look at it, the commissioner, he does a good job. He could be, you know, a lot of people talk about him a lot, but to me, I think over the last 20 years, hockey is better, the product is better, the games are better, and there's no question. You look at the standing today, you know, the team to make the playoff is so hard. You know, it's an amazing grind, you know, all season just to make the playoff. So I really like what I see so far.
You know, Michelle, I agree with you because Scott asked me that question on the first podcast, and I said I'd like to see the red line back in place just to have I want to see the people with the hockey sense and the quick thinkers. And I think there was more of that in fairness. The people that had super hockey intelligence and super ability in the neutral zone had to think the game a little bit better or quicker maybe than they do now. As Michelle said, they post up on the far blue line. They may tip it in, and then they're on the hunt on a forecheck. So it changed the dynamics. And, of course, I had great goaltenders who could handle the puck. So that made a big – I can still remember Mark Howell saying to me, Hexie's going to put 10 more years on my career because I never have to go back in the end zone and pick the puck up. He just passes it up to me. So, yeah, I think – I would love to see that as well. And I think there's a group of players. Bobby Orr is one of the biggest advocates of having the red line put back in. And it would probably release the concussion factor a bit too, because they would be moving a little bit slower in the neutral zone than they are now with those open ice hits.
Well, there's no question, Mike. To me, it would be totally different. It's a different game, you know, when you, if you put the red line back, you know.
Yeah.
You go as unit of five and attack and all that. Now you just have the guy, one guy skating, the one hanging behind and, you know, taking the puck and skating all the way down. But the thing is, it is what it is. But, you know, the only little things that will, like, I really like person as a player. When I was a player, I like the pick and roll.
Yeah.
You know, the pick and roll to me, it's part of the, it's like a little bit like in basketball, the pick and roll are part, was part of hockey. But now, you know, obviously the fact that you can't do that anymore really speed up the game. And that's where the danger of injuries and concussions and all that, you know, when the guy's, you know, obviously coming 100 miles an hour and the guy go get the puck and he's got almost no way to protect himself, you know. So it's, you know, you can have always have, you know, better ruling. But at the end of the day, it's a. It is what it is, and I think the player adjusts pretty well, you know. So
yeah, they do. They do, but I think that that part of that hockey sense we love to historically, and the game survived many generations. But when people were scouted, they were looked at as, can they think the game? They got great talent. Yep. Michelle's, you know, could score goals, very strong, good skater, but he could think the game. And that's almost what I was referring to earlier when he and Steve Larmer would talk to Jeremy. Jeremy was just learning the game from real pros. And that's thinking the game and how to handle, the, as he said, a group of five guys coming up together and how to manipulate or systematically get through certain zones in the ice surface that are needed.
What was JR like?
It's just funny, Mike. You talk about JR and Steve, and you know, I remember my first few games, and I see JR because JR really liked to handle the puck and go all the way. And I'm like, okay. One time I went after one shift, I say, okay, JR, I know you like the puck, but you know, if you see me open, give it to me and keep going. You're gonna get it back. Don't worry. And I think at the end, you know, JR really understand what we're trying to do. You know, and obviously, JR, you know, what he had, a couple season of 50 goals with Chicago. And, you know, you can see the guy, you didn't have to repeat two, three times what he has to say, what you have to tell him. He knew exactly what we're trying to do. And, you know, and good for him. And there's no question, Mike, you had a big influence on him becoming like maybe one of the best two-way player in the league and powerful. You know, and so that was an amazing, he was an amazing young guy, no question.
Well, and in his book, you should know, Mike and Michelle, that JR claims that he once went into your coach's office and lifted your credit card, your team credit card. So you better check those bills.
I had a lot of bills that I didn't know where they were coming from. Now I'm starting to learn.
I guess he learned well from the veterans.
Mike, I can see you be a coach in the Chicago Blackhawks in today's game, huh? The bills were coming left and right, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Michelle, we really appreciate your time, and it's great catching up and some terrific stories. Great
Michelle,
memories.
That's awesome. Thank you very much, guys. That was such a fun time.
Thank you very much, Michelle. And we'll see you along the way.
All right. Good luck.
Take care.
Bonne chance.
Thank you. Thank you much.
Hall of Famer Michelle Goulet, and what a tremendous hockey player.